you while we're waiting for Christ leading on the pastor.
Scripture doesn't teach that. A lot of people believe it, unfortunately.
Okay, let's go over verses 8, 9, and 10 together. Romans 10, 8 through 10. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
All right, good to see everyone here this morning for the Sunday school hour. Good to be in God's house today. Beautiful day that we have. A couple of weeks ago, in our prayer list that we put out on prayer meeting night, they had in big bold letters, pray for rain. Well, this past week, that in big bold letters, prayer answered. God certainly answered that prayer. We had plenty of rain down our way. I assume you did up here too. But we have a beautiful day today. I've been preaching in another church on Wednesday nights that doesn't have a pastor. And they just called a man. In fact, he's supposed to be there next Sunday, the new pastor. So there is hope. This Wednesday night will be my last Wednesday night there, as far as I know. And the new pastor will be coming in. So look up. You know, God's still on the throne, and he has the right man for you somewhere. Just a matter of, waiting on God's time. We're looking in 1 Peter chapter number 1. We started a study in the book of 1 Peter. And all of the points in this study start with a B. And we had talked about beginning the Christian life. The first five verses of chapter 1 were chosen by God, verses 1 and 2. We're born of God, verse 3. We're heirs of God, verse 4. And we are kept by God, verse 5. And then last time we started to talk about burnishing in the Christian life in the matter of trials. Let's bow for prayer as we get started. Lord, thank you for the privilege we had to be here today at Ray Street Baptist Church. Thank you for all your manifold blessings. Thank you for the beautiful day. Lord, thank you for the song time and how the songs bless our hearts and lift us up. And Lord, I pray that you would bless now as we look into your word. I pray the Holy Spirit would take the word, apply it to our hearts today. And Lord, for what you do, we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' wonderful name. For his sake we ask it. Amen. We started to talk about the matter of trials in verses 6 through 9. We see the fact of trials in verse 6. In verse 5, he told, Peter is writing here, and he tells them that they're kept by the power of God. And I'm so thankful that that's the case. If we were kept by our power, we would be in bad shape, wouldn't we? Amen? Amen. If we were kept by our power. Look, if I could have lost my salvation, I'd have lost it a long time ago. Sad to say. Even though I've been saved for 53 years, and regardless of how long we're saved, we are sinners still, aren't we? Saved by grace, but we're sinners. And I'm so thankful we have a great high priest who is there to represent us before the throne of God. And we're kept, it says, by his power, not our power. But then he talks about the matter of trials in the next verse, verse 6. He says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, and we do rejoice. The joy of the Lord is our strength, isn't it? And, you know, he puts joy in our hearts, not because of anything we've done, but because of what Christ has done for us. And, you know, he puts that joy. As I read the book of Philippians, all the way through that little book, Paul talks about joy. And he's sitting in a Roman prison when he writes that. So it's not a natural thing, is it? But it's supernatural. The joy of the Lord that He puts in our hearts. And that's our strength. So He said, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, your heaviness through manifold temptations. We were talking about this, I guess, last week. If need be, we don't have to be in heaviness, but sometimes we are, aren't we? Because of the trials that come our way. Our pastor preached a message a couple of weeks ago on how to survive in a cave. And he got the inspiration from those kids in that cave in Thailand. And, watching what took place there. And then he was reading in the Psalms, and there's one of the superscriptions in one of the Psalms that talked about David in a cave, you know, when he's being pursued by Saul. And so he brought that message on how to survive in a cave. And there are lots of caves that we find ourselves in sometimes, you know. And so he says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. I mean, the trials that come our way have a tendency to weigh us down. But in the midst of all that, you know, obviously God's grace is available. That's why Paul and Silas could sing songs at midnight in the Philippian prison, right? I mean, at midnight, they're in the innermost prison and they're singing psalms and praising God. That is not a natural thing to do. That's a supernatural thing to do, isn't it? So in spite of the fact here they are in prison, in chains, you know, they're praising God. Well, he said, you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation. Temptations have a tendency to drag us down. But, you know, I think of that saying, how are you doing under the circumstances? Well, you're not supposed to be under the circumstances, right? We're supposed to be on top of the circumstances, where we should be. And by the way, by God's power and by His grace, we can be, can't we? I think I mentioned this last week. Someone has said that the average Christian lives such a subnormal Christian life that the normal Christian life appears to be abnormal. Think about that. The average Christian, I'm sure that's probably true, lives such a subnormal Christian life that the normal Christian life appears to be abnormal. The normal Christian life should be a life of victory, shouldn't it? That we're not living under the circumstances, we're on top of the circumstances. And look, regardless of who we are or where we are, how long we've been saved, trials are going to come our way, aren't they? Of some sort. And God allows them to come our way too. But He's also in control of them. And so I'm thankful for that. Well, verse number 7. Here's the reason for trials in verse 7. It says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, the trial of our faith, God doesn't try us to find out what we're made of. He already knows, right? He knows what we're made of. We're just flesh and bone. And originally, we were dirt, weren't we? Adam and Eve, or Adam was made out of the dust of the ground, the Bible says. So that's humbling, isn't it? They tell us that all the same elements that are in the ground are in our human bodies. The same elements. We came from dust, and by the way, we're going to go back to dust one of these days too. That's humbling. An old teacher of mine, I remember, he said, you know, God's looking for a channel that he can work through, and any old mud bank will do for a channel. Doesn't have to be anything fancy, just a mud bank. Well, we came from dirt. We're going to go back to dirt one of these days. I remember one time down on the Chesapeake Canal down in our area, Chesapeake City, Maryland. They were going to do some widening on the canal, and there was an old cemetery there, and they had to move some bodies in the cemetery. And so at that time, our former pastor was a good friend with one of the local funeral directors there, and this particular funeral director had been given charge to move these graves. And so our pastor said, now, with some of those old graves, some of the real old ones, what do you find when you dig them up? He said, well, a lot of times all we find is just a different color in the soil. Everything's gone. Now, that's not always the case. There might be some bone fragments in some cases, but he said in a lot of cases, nothing there, just difference in the color of the soil. Well, we came from dirt. We're going to go back to it one of these days, aren't we? That's humbling. God knows what we're made of. He knows that we're flesh, right? And he knows everything about us, all the details of our lives. So he doesn't try us to find out what we're made of, because he knows that. But he tries us so that he can put us on display. Look at in Ephesians. One of these days, God is going to put us on display as Christians. Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 5. Ephesians 2:5 says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. He's going to put us on display one day. And what is the victory? It's even our faith, isn't it? That is the victory that overcomes the world. And in spite of all the things the devil throws at us, and you never know what it's going to be, do you? But there's grace and there's faith to overcome those things. And it says that the trial of our faith is much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. I used to, I haven't done this for a long time, but I used to shoot black powder guns. Anybody here do that? Anybody involved in that? Yeah. I built a number of them from kits. I built a set of dueling pistols one time, flintlock dueling pistols, and sold those. I built Kentucky rifles. I had a fellow that did some work in my kitchen. He wouldn't take any money for his work, so I gave him a Kentucky rifle I built. And so I had a bunch of those things. And I used to mold my own bullets. I don't know if you do that or not. Did you do that? No? I used to mold my own bullets. And so I had a pot of lead I'd melt down. And when the lead would melt, as it got hotter, the impurities would come to the top. And so I'd have to scrape off impurities several times before I'd ever try to cast any bullets. The heat brought out the impurities. Hey, does that ring a bell with us? Yeah, God turns up the heat sometimes, and boy, that brings out the impurities, doesn't it? But it's for the purpose of getting rid of them. To get rid of the impurities in our lives. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, our old nature is kind of like an onion. You peel off one layer, And guess what? There's another layer. And you peel that one off, and guess what? There's another layer, right? And another layer. That's the way it is. And so as long as we're in this body of flesh, there's still going to be some layers to be peeled off. And the impurities come to the top when the heat's on. But it's for the purpose of getting rid of them. So when I was molding bullets, boy, I'd have to scrape those impurities off a number of times before I could even try to cast anything. Well, I guess it's the same way, with any kind of metal. And here he's talking about gold. The trial of your faith is much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. There isn't anything on this earth that is as precious as our faith. Everything here we're going to leave behind one of these days, right? The only things we're going to take to heaven are those people that we've influenced for Christ. Those are the things we can take to heaven. But everything else, as far as our worldly goods and all that, we're going to leave here, aren't we? So anyhow, the reason for trials in verse number 7, the result of trials in verse 7, it says that our faith might be found with praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. What we do, we want to do to please Him and be found faithful in Him. Then the victory in trials in verse number 8. It says, whom having not seen, ye love. And whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We haven't seen him, but we love him. Look back to John chapter 17, if you will. John chapter number 17. John 17 is really the Lord's Prayer. This is where he prays for his own. What folks normally call the Lord's Prayer, our Father which art in heaven and so on, that's really a model prayer. Just to show us what the ingredients should be. But John 17 really is the Lord's Prayer because here he prays for his own. And look down at, let's just begin at verse number 1, John 17. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify the Son, that the Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. And I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. And they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that thou they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they might be sanctified through thy truth. Now, verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That comes right down to present time, doesn't it? I mean, that comes right down through these past 2,000 years. Not only is he praying for the disciples, but he says, I'm praying for those that will believe on me through their word. How was it, you know, that we got saved? It didn't just happen, did it? Somebody had an influence on us. Somebody prayed for us. Somebody gave us the gospel. I remember after I got saved in 1965, I saw a lady that had gone to that liberal church that I grew up in. And she was probably in her 80s about that time. And I remember she told me this. She said, you know, when you were just a little boy in Sunday school, I prayed for you that you'd get saved. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you did. She was in that liberal church, unfortunately, but she was a saved woman. And I'm glad she prayed for me. And I'm sure there were lots of people that prayed for us before we got saved. I think I mentioned it at least one time. I had a couple great grandfathers in the Civil War. And one of my great grandfathers was in the 8th Delaware Infantry. I have his Bible at home. He died in 1899. And I remember my grandmother telling me, she was at his bedside when he died. He was only, I think, 57, something like that. And he had been bedfast for several years with arthritis, twisted, a lot of different shapes. And he told my grandmother, and I guess told the other children, he said, when I die, they won't have to break my bones. I guess, I don't know what they do now, but I guess back then that's what they had to do to fit them in a coffin. He said, they won't have to break my bones. And he also said, I'm going to walk the streets of gold straight as any man. That's what he told her. Well, she was there when he died. And she said, it was in November of 1899. And she said that his eyes lit up. And he said, do you see those two angels at the foot of the bed? Well, nobody else saw anything, but that's the way he went out. I have a feeling he prayed for his children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and descendants. And I have his Bible at home. So there probably have been a lot of folks that prayed for us down through the years. And folks that witnessed to us. I don't know if I mentioned this before or not, but when I was in the service and not a Christian at that time, but I knew what it was all about because my brother had gotten saved when I was a kid. But I remember one of the guys that was in that company I was in, and I remember somebody told me, he said, you know, so-and-so is a Christian. I don't remember this guy's name. They say he's a Christian. Well, you know, I started watching him. When they told me that, I started watching him and I started listening. And you know what? I never saw him do anything that would dishonor the Lord. I never heard him say anything that would dishonor the Lord. And that impressed me. I mean, that was a testimony to me. So although I don't know his name, and although that's 50-some years ago, that had an influence on me. And then other people. Lots of people. Somebody told us about salvation and we got saved. And so that really puts a responsibility on us to tell some other folks too, doesn't it? We have that obligation. I know sometimes we assume if you're born in America, you must know. You must know about salvation. No, no. And even with all the gospel preaching, a lot of it, good solid churches around, there's still lots of folks, I guarantee you, that don't have a clue about salvation. We run into folks every once in a while who have never been in church in their life. That's the day that we live in, you know. But we've got the message, don't we? This is what the world needs right here. And Jesus prayed for those that he said would believe on their word. The apostles. And then of course that comes on right down to the present time. So, the victory in our trials in verse number 8 says, whom having not seen, speaking of Christ now, ye love, and whom though you now you see him not, yet believing rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And then in verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So, beginning the Christian life, burnishing in the Christian life. Anybody have any comments or questions before we move along here? Any input before we move along? I'd like to get feedback. Yes?
Well, I was thinking when you were talking about peeling back the onions,
yeah.
There's probably a lot of frying going on there, too.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. And I guarantee you, the old nature, when the peel gets pulled back, yeah, it causes some tears, doesn't it? Have you ever been surprised? You know, I think about that verse, Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? He asked that question, who can know it? And I used to say years ago, if I know my heart, I try not to say that anymore because that verse tells me I don't know my heart. Even though we're saved, there may be things lurking in our hearts that would destroy our testimony, right? Not going to lose your salvation, but you can certainly destroy your testimony. Remember, Jesus said it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaketh. It's out of the abundance of the heart that come forth lies and fornication and blasphemies and all these various things. It's out of the heart. And that wicked heart is a sin generator. It just is. A number of years ago, we planted, what were those things, Zucca plants? Is that what they're called? Anybody have any of those? You ever plant any of those things? Well, if you do, they're almost impossible to get out. I mean, they grow like crazy. And we had to pull some of them out with a tractor, didn't we? You can dig them up, and boy, they'll come back. Well, that's kind of like the old nature is. I mean, you know, it's regardless of what we do, it's always going to be there. And so what we have to do, of course, is keep short accounts with God, keep our sins confessed. Because otherwise our heart, if it's let go, can destroy our spiritual lives, can't it? Keep thy heart with all diligence. Proverbs, is that chapter 4? I think that's Proverbs chapter 4, isn't it? Keep, pardon me? 23. Okay, Proverbs 4:23. Yeah, look at that verse. Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I understand that the picture here is of guards walking around the wall of a prison and looking in at what's going on in the prison grounds, keeping vigil over what's going on there. That's the way it is, you know, with our heart. So we have to keep it with all diligence. Have you ever thought about this? That every dirty deed that was ever committed started in somebody's heart? Started there first, didn't it? Adolf Hitler came up with his views on the Jews, that they were the cause of all the world's problems. And he wrote his book, Mein Kampf, which, by the way, is still, you know, that is a bestseller in the Arab countries. Mein Kampf is one of the bestsellers. But there he said in that book what he was going to do if he got into power. Started in his head, put it in writing, finally got in power, and 6 million Jews later killed. Started in the heart first. So we have to guard it, don't we? Even as a Christian, sometimes we go, I've been saved a long time. Yeah, I know. Being saved a long time doesn't prevent you from a fall, does it? I know lots of folks have been saved a long time and their lives ended up in a mess. I know preachers that are out of the ministry today. And I'm talking about novices. I'm talking about men who were greatly used of God, had huge ministries, but sin crept in and now they're out of the ministry. So it can happen to anybody. If you think, well, it couldn't happen to me, don't kid yourself. And so we have to guard that heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. Anything else? Interesting thoughts about the onion. Yeah, when you peel it, it'll cause some tears, won't it? Yes. Yeah.
Trying to make the South more beautiful or whatever, and it just took off.
Didn't it come from Japan?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, Kanzu. Yeah.
Did it come from? I thought it came from Japan, but anyhow, yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
And it just took over. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the way sin is too, isn't it?
Right.
I mean, a little starts very small, but not careful, it'll take over. Okay, anything else? I guess we're out of time. 25 after, is that right?
We have 2 or 3 minutes.
Okay, anything else? Any other comments before we stop this morning? Well, trials are going to come our way, but we're on the winning side. We have victory through Christ. And in spite of the fact you may be burdened down and heavy-hearted sometimes because of the trials, you know, we're on the winning side. And we've read the last book, right? We know how it's going to end. Do you ever do that? When you're reading a book, go to the last chapter, see how it ends. We know how this is going to end, don't we? And for the Christian, it's going to end in heaven, in that place with the streets of gold and pearly gates. All right, let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we have today. Thank you for your word. Again, thank you for the Holy Spirit who takes it, applies it to our hearts. Lord, I pray that you'd help us now as we go in the morning service. Again, bless the song service, and then again, bless the preaching of your word. And Lord, for all that you do today, again, we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' matchless name, before sake we ask it. Amen.